That's very sad, like some of Dalit.
It is sad indeed. So, today's daf Samach Dalid, Brochas Tavshin Samach Hei, Tisha Yomim LaOmer, and we are up to the end of the story of Chomos, and we're on Omer Abavin HaLevi, the third line. Omer Abavin HaLevi, Kol HaDochek Et HaSha'a, Sha'a Dochakato, V'chol HaNitcha Mipnei HaSha'a, Sha'a Nitchek Mipanav. People who push the hour, in other words, it's before their time, say like Avshalom, insisted on having his way. He wants to be able to Gedula, to become a king, no matter what it takes. At that point, the hour pushes him away, in other words, and he can even die young because of it. Whereas Kol HaNitcha Mipnei HaSha'a, one who allows himself to be pushed away, even from the hour that has arrived, Sha'a Nitcheit Mipanav, his own hour of appointed death even, can be pushed off. And we have a story in which this actually took place. By the way, you'll notice the difference between David and Avshalom. This is extremely powerful. Where David, every time he was put into a position where he could have taken over from Shaul, and it even appeared that everything was demanding that he take over Shaul, thrown into his hands miraculously again and again. I mean, they fall asleep, or he backs into the Ma'arav, the story we had it. And everybody's telling him, what's the matter with you? It's such a hashgacha, it's given into your hands, take over. Me? I have to do something to take over? Is he crazy? I should hurt the Mashiach Hashem. And look at the opposite results. So he was a person who never ever pushed, allowed himself to be pushed out of the way, and became David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam.
How old is he, sir?
Huh?
How old is David Melech
Yisrael? 70. But, I mean, that's a special case, you know. And here's the case of Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Now, Rabbi Yosef was a Sinai. Sinai means he was a big bucky. And as we saw very often, he was the one who quotes a braita and so on. Rabba, on the other hand, was not as great a baki. There was an oker horim. He could lift up mountains and grind them together until he came out with a little diamond that's in the middle. So he was brilliant. Yitzrichalahu shaita, and it came time in which one of them needed to be appointed as the Rosh Yeshiva, and it wasn't clear who it should be. So Shalchu Lahatan, they sent the Shaila to Eretz Yisrael from Babel to ask who it would be better to appoint. Sinai, we have a Sinai person, someone who's a Baki, and we have an Oker Harim. Ezem Mehem Kodem, which one should come first? Shalchu Lahu, and they sent back a Teshuvah from Eretz Yisrael, Sinai Kodem. You should always take for such a position the one who is the Baki. Everybody needs the guy who's got the goods. He's got the goods. Other people can analyze the goods. But if you have the data, then you're going to have what to work with. You don't have the data, it's just not worth it. Today, the only thing that's important is how good you can give over your doctoral thesis. Same idea. They think the way to teach people how to learn is to bring a person who doesn't know Aleph Beis into the library, show them everybody's doctoral thesis. Because essentially this Akron wrote this Sefer, this is his whole life's work, it's his doctoral thesis. Undoubtedly, if I learn that, I'll learn how to learn. You know, so you collect 50 doctoral theses, you figure if you read them through, even though you don't have a clue to what it's all about, but if you read them through, you must know how to learn. And this is actually what they do. They actually take kids who know zero, haven't learned Tanakh, haven't learned the Mishnah yet, know maybe five pages of Gemara, and they teach them doctoral thesis. Imagine doing that in the university. I got to take chemistry 101. What are you, crazy? I'll sit in the library and read doctoral thesis. Anyway, so obviously that's not the way to do things, and the results speak for themselves. So they said you should always take the Sinai. But Rabbi Yosef refused the position. They wanted to make him Rosh Hashiva, and he said, no way. Because, after all, the Chaldeans, he had a gypsy tell him when he was a kid, you're going to be a Rosh Hashiva for 2 years. Uh-oh. And he figures after those 2 years, it's all over. He ain't going to take those 2 years now. We'll put him off a little bit. So he refused the position, and he insisted that the only one they can appoint is Rabbah. So they appointed Rabbah. Sure enough, Rabbah became the Rosh Hashiva, and Molach Rabbah Esrim V'Tartin Shnim. For 22 years he was the Rosh Hashiva, and when he died, Rabbi Yosef became Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years. Tartin Shnim Ufalcha. And Kol Hanech Shani, the Molach Rabbah, Afilu Umne Lebeit Elokora. During all of those years, when Rabbah ruled, he was careful not to act in any way. So when it came time to have the barber, who in those days would do the leeches. They wouldn't use leeches, they actually let blood, but he wouldn't call them to his house, which you do if you're a fancy guy. He went instead and sat in the office. Of course, there's a lot of Ramazim in the sugya, which Tosef himself brings elsewhere, where the sugya appears, where Rabbi Yosef talks about himself. He says, Rav Tfuot B'Koach Shor, about himself. You get a lot of stuff to carry around, a lot of produce on your back if you're an ox. Tosef is referring to Yosef Atzadet, to Ashor, B'Kor Shoro Hadarlo. And as a matter of fact, it was 22 years, precisely the number of years that Yosef was away, that he was able to push off his death by not accepting this position. He stayed out of the family for 22 years, so to speak. And these 2.5 years were the 2 years that after the Shnot HaRa'av began, 2.5 years that Yosef HaTzadik was Molech until Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, basically. Which he came really into his own in those years, where they saw he was right, and everybody came to him, and they needed him. And Paro said, listen, a guy who's, if he could say this, just do whatever he says, and accept what he tells you. V'yomer Abavin HaLevi, Mai dechtiv ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara, yisagevcha Hashem Elohei Yaakov. When times get tough, David HaMelech prays, the one who should help you is the God of Yaakov. Am I the God of Yaakov? I mean, we have Elohei Abraham, we have Elohei Yitzchak. I mean, why do we need to specifically engage Elohei Yaakov? Mikan, Lebal HaKoreh, Sheyachnis Atzmo, Gohov Yashav Korah, the guy who's going, who owns, it's a mushel, the person who has owns the beam that needs to be moved. He's the one that needs to take responsibility. If he's carrying it with other people, he should take the heaviest part. And it's a saying, which means that if you're the guy who is in charge, it was Yaakov Avinu that had all of the children, and he was the one that had all the tsar gilo banim, and all of his life was full of that tsar, that from that point on, his midah becomes the one who cares about those children, who's mispalo for those children, and so on. So we refer to Elohei Yaakov. Each of the avot is expressed in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us because of the relationship with that av. And therefore, the God, so to speak, upon whom we call is Bedavka Elohei Yaakov. It's a very important thing that people don't realize. When we say Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, it's not who is the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Each one is a different Elohei. Remember, to the Elohus is expressed in a relationship with the world that's defined by these three fundamental pillars. Omar Rabba Min HaLevi, Kol HaNe'ne Misu'udah Shetalmid Chacham Sharui B'Tulcha Ki'ilu Ne'ne Miziv HaShechina. Someone who takes benefit of a Su'udah, we're a Talmud Chacham, is part of that Su'udah, it's a continuation of the sugyas we had before, is as if he's being Ne'ne at that point directly from the Shechina. How is it lifnei Elohim exactly? Lifnei Elohim achlu. Lifnei Moshe achlu. Why do you say that we're eating in front of God? There's a little bit we saw yesterday that Bedafka, we are looking at it, that they ate in front of God, because they were eating the zvachim that he had brought, and he was the one that was being mahana them. Here again, the mashmaut is although if named Moshe, Moshe was serving them. The very fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was there at that Su'udah, that's why it's called Nifnei Elohim. Yom Rabbein HaLevi, HaNiftar Michaveiro, somebody who is saying goodbye to a friend should never say Lech B'Shalom, go in peace. He should always say Lech L'Shalom. And we can see this, Yitro Sh'amar Lo Moshe, Yitro told Moshe, Lech L'Shalom. And what happened to Moshe? Moshe was Allah Vitzliach. He became a great man. But David, when Avshalom asked Rishut to go, he told Avshalom, Lech Bishalom. That was the end of Avshalom. He was Halach V'nitla. He ended up being hung from that Halicha. By the way, it's interesting that those who say that this is only when you're going. You're coming. So it's Veshafti Bishalom El Beit Avi. Bo Bishalom Rabbi V'talmi. That's Begro actually says that. But Lamaisa, when it comes to the Bracha, it's we say in the Bracha of Tfilas HaDerech, it's Achzireinu Lishalom. So not Bishalom. It became that Girs in the Bracha appears in Yerushalmi. There's Mashmot, it's not 100% clear. So I mean, the point over there is to amaze. If he has shalom, meaning shlemut, if he's attained something in this world, he doesn't have to go towards anything new. It's just a question of now getting what it is that he achieved. So it's like bishalom. If he hasn't had the shalom now, he ain't going to get it. You can't tell him like lishalom, because you can only have what you're bringing with you. Mashenkin, a live person, is always growing, as we'll see, that's the next sugya. And the idea is, therefore, go always towards greater and greater shlemut. And as long as you're part of the rat race of life, it's always towards something. It's always lishalom. Yeah, you want to be blessed with the blessing of peace, but the question is going and coming. I mean, Omer Reb Levi b'Rebbi Chia, Hayotzei mi Beit HaKneset v'nichnas lebeit HaMidrash v'osek b'Torah. Speaking of going from one level to the next, somebody who goes to davening and comes directly from davening to daf yomi. I did? Oh, I'm sorry. Omer Abavin HaLevi, Aniftar Men HaMeit. I was explaining that because I thought we said it. I'm sorry. There's someone who is saying goodbye to a mate. When you say goodbye to a mate, that's usually what they would do when they were bringing a mate from one city to another for burial. So they had a seder in which the people of one town would come out to be makabel the pnei hamita, would carry the mita onwards towards the next town. That town would then, those people would then turn and would say goodbye to the mate. So it was an official pesira min hamit, sort of a bikush reshut to allow someone else to take over the levaya. So the derech was to say lech bishalom. That's, of course, death. Omer Reb Levi Barchia, Hayotzei mi Beit HaKneset v'nichnas l'Beit HaMidrash, someone who leaves his shacharit and then comes to Dav Yomi, and he's Ozik B'Torah, Zochu Mekavu Pnei Shechina. Shenema Yelchu Michael El-Choyil, Yerael Elohim B'Tzion. Someone who goes from one strength to the next. This is all halicha again. So that's the reference here. It's how it fits in the whole idea of halicha. Shalom. The one who goes from one strength to the next will end up being makabel pnei shechina b'tzion.
Better than eating breakfast in between?
Well, you know, I'm nichshal, but I mean, yeah.
Really?
Definitely it's better. Sure.
Then what? Your last...
I mean, it doesn't mean you change your schedule, but after you should end up davening later in order that it should be this way.
That's what I'm asking.
No. It means that you'll sit down and learn after davening. What, do you think it's some kind of trick?
Yeah.
It's not a trick. It's a reality. After you're done, and you go sit down and learn.
And
you
spend all day in the yeshiva.
You learn in the yeshiva.
That's true. That's the reason for it. Omer b'chia barashi, omer rav, talmidei chachamim ein lehem menucha. Indeed, when it comes to talmidei chachamim, they're always being yelled for michoel ochoel. They have no peace. Lo b'olam hazeh, lo b'olam habayim. We say to a mate, lech b'shalom. But that's only in terms of the things that a person can achieve in olam hazeh, avoda. So in terms of that, in terms of bria, obviously olam haba is menucha, by definition. Yom shekulo shabbos menucha l'chaya olam. But in terms of awareness and understanding, it's yechum ichoyal ochoyal, even in olam haba. There's no rest. There's always new challenges, new things to understand. Yerayal Elohim b'tzion. And I think we'll save our closing lines for our closing lines. Well, this has been quite a ride.
It's been a rough one.
Yeah, that's
great. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Nice specific. Yeah.
Beautiful. Of course, you remember what it says about the guy who says, this is a nice Masechet.
What does it say about the guy who says this is a nice Masechet?
It says he's a pimp. They're all beautiful. That's what the Gemara says. It's called a Roez or not. But it's okay. It's a beautiful Masechet like many others.
But what if he says that very Masechet?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's tomorrow, same time, same place.
Bezrat Hashem, I just wanted to read to you. I know Richie would have a good life, because I want to read to you one of the cipher. Bobby had to hear this. I got an email from someone who listens to the shir in Toronto, and he confirmed that it is now the minhag of Rove people in Toronto to remove their shoes while coming into the house. So that's cyberspace for you. We now have confirmation.